Hi folks, welcome to Friday's Coffee and Colossians. How do we know what's right? You know, what makes a good teacher of God's Word? I've been saying that, you know, what the Bible says, God says, but what does the Bible say? People are able to twist the Bible and so on. And that's why today's verse is so important. So we're at Colossians chapter 2. And we are at verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Okay, so we're talking about being sound. Now, what does that mean? No one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Later on, verse 8, just a couple of verses on, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. So, not being deceived, what does that mean? Well, we can deceive ourselves. James chapter 1, verse 21, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. That's a form of deceit whereby we hear the word of God, we listen to the word of God, but we don't do the word of God. And if we don't do the word of God, then we will find ourselves being deceived. We can be deceived by ourselves, which is why we can't rely on our own feelings, and we can be deceived by others. Remember, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Knowing Christ changes everything. So I hear lots of fine-sounding arguments. I read lots of fine-sounding arguments. I read something yesterday in an evangelical newspaper. Once I got over what I would just call the verbiage, the flowery language, I realized it was really saying nothing. It was fine-sounding argument, but was really saying nothing. The ones directly opposed to the faith are horrible. You know, if I, let's say, read Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion, it wasn't a pleasant thing. And there are others as well. But what's far worse are the religious ones. The false teaching in Colossae had some appeal. It had practical rules for living, recognizable religious features. It seemed to be true. It was near enough to be plausible, but far away enough to be devastating. And Paul says we need to deal with this at source, and the source is Christ. Is this what Christ teaches? Is this what we are to believe? Again, I've been at several conferences recently, or events. I was at one today, which was excellent, by the way. So if you think I'm referring to this, you know where I was. No, I'm not referring to this. But I have been at several recently, and at least a couple of them, I'm thinking, really? Is this what Jesus says? And these are evangelical conferences. Read a couple of books recently where it's more or less the same thing. Now, the trouble is that small acorns grow into big trees. And as Dick Lucas says, there's now a fresh responsibility laid on Christians to examine all teaching for the truthfulness of its content rather than the attractiveness of its packaging. One of the conferences I was at recently, the packaging was brilliant. But when you looked at the content, at best, it was vacuous. You know, and sometimes I can recall going to a church where the packaging was absolutely awful, and they certainly needed to improve it. But the teaching was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I know which one I would prefer. It's funny, I think an awful lot of the evangelical world today is concerned with the packaging. And that's not Paul's concern at all. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Paul's saying we shouldn't argue, nor is he saying that we shouldn't argue well or present a good case. But I think what he is saying is that we shouldn't be deceived by people who talk well, who present a good case, but ultimately that case does not come from Christ. Now, does that layer the responsibility on you to be able to understand and discern everything? I don't think so. But I think it does lay upon you the responsibility to pray, to ask the Spirit to give you insight. And I think it lays especially the responsibility on those who are teachers of God's word to challenge and to warn and to have courage in so doing. Yeah, it's interesting how all this gels together, isn't it? Okay, I think I will leave it there. On Sunday, we're going to do Catechism Question 2, so join us for that. And next Monday, we'll continue looking at how Paul develops this teaching. But meanwhile, I hope that you will be, in the words of our Northern Irish friends, sound. Sound. Sound in teaching, sound in your life, sound in doctrine. God bless you, and see you then. Bye.